Hey guys, how's it going? My name is Joseph Fordham and this is NPLH In Conversation With, the football podcast that isn't about football, brought to you by NPLH Studio. NPLH is more than a podcast. Once you've hit the follow button, visit nplhmag.com to enjoy online reads, subscribe to our newsletter and browse our collection of magazines, prints and apparel. On to the show. Max Ornstil is a former pro athlete turned entrepreneur and creative from Oakland, California. He shares the challenges of transitioning from a life with a very clear path and identity to one without either as one third of the creative collective Neighbourhood Sports Club. Falling in love with the game aged five, Max lived out his boyhood dream in exchange for a number of sacrifices along the way, only for someone else to tell him when the dream was over. Where that door closed, the world of possibilities opened and, as Max tells us, Neighbourhood Sports Club has not only given him the opportunity to reconnect with passions cast aside as his career took over, but reminded him why he fell in love with the game in the first place. More takeouts than the strip mall in this one. Enjoy the episode. How you doing, Max?
I'm doing well. How are you? Can you hear me?
Yeah, I got you loud and clear. Okay. You've come armed with a professional kit.
I actually haven't used this mic in a while.
You dusted it off. It sounds like it's doing the trick.
Love that.
I see not only the pro kit, but you've got the Neighbourhood Sports Club kit going on there as well.
It is kind of part of my everyday uniform, pretty much. At least one article. It's honestly surprising I'm not wearing two.
Turn around, it's all over the back. You're like a walking A-board.
Yeah, pretty much.
I'm usually the same. I tend to exist in what I call a PE kit. Just a pair of shorts, pair of trainers,
hey,
and ready to go just in case there's a run happening or something, you know, just like dropping a hat.
You got to be ready.
No change necessary.
Love that.
Mate, how you getting on over there? It's early. Oh, happy Valentine's Day, mate, by the way.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate that. I've been up a little bit too long. For some reason, I haven't been able to sleep in recently. I was also excited for this too, so maybe that was a factor. So I've been up for a little bit, but I'm doing well, doing really well. Things are busy, but in the best way possible.
With the Neighbourhood Sports Club or work outside of that as well?
Pretty much all of that. That's the way I would like it to be. There's kind of a million things going on at once. Every day is different. Definitely am kept on my toes. But that's one of the reasons why this is so fun, is every day is different and every day doing something that I'm extremely passionate about and couldn't see myself doing anything else really.
Just touching on the every day being different there. So first of all, you're one of the very few people that I've had the privilege of speaking to on here that's got a Wikipedia entry. So it made it quite easy.
Wow.
To get a little bit of a backstory before speaking properly.
Yeah.
So obviously I know a bit about your playing career.
It's not a long Wikipedia.
Hey, it's longer than mine.
Hey.
which doesn't exist.
Soon. Just wait.
Yeah, who knows?
Hey, MPLH.
It'll be me making it, I'm sure.
It's going to take off.
Oh, mate, I appreciate you saying that. But yeah, that your playing days, I'm imagining there's like a lot of repetition with that, right? And the training, yeah, the playing, the training, the playing, all that kind of stuff. So with the variety that comes with Neighbourhood Sports Club now, is that something that you're relishing and that you thought maybe you were missing in that part of your life?
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of crazy because, I mean, I kind of talk about this with friends and family recently, kind of starting this new year, 2024. This is the start of just my second year. I mean, really ever since I was, you know, a little kid, where football doesn't directly dictate every day of my life. And this last year, 2023, that was kind of just figuring it out on the fly. That was my first year out of football, you know, officially retiring. And a lot of that was just like figuring out what the calendar is like, what a year is like, what a week is like. And it was a challenge, you know, just creating your own schedule and finding times to work, finding times to not work. I mean, as an entrepreneur, as a co-founder, there's always something to do. There's always a to-do list. And it kind of took a while to get some sort of peace, knowing that you're never going to be able to finish that, you know, especially in a day's work. And so being able to be okay, having some things still left to do at the end of the day, and finding this balance of knowing that you are going to have to put in more hours than the normal person and do things that people with a 9-to-5 don't do. But at the same time, there's unbelievable things that come with that and rewards that come with that. And so it's been a huge transition, coming out of playing football since 5 and competitively since, you know, 10, ever since you really make that decision of football being, you know, your dream of being a professional, it kind of takes over your whole life, you know, and kind of dictates everything, whether it's, you know, training every day, games, not being able to go on vacations, trips, birthdays, because you have a game the next day, you have training. And so now kind of having just a blank slate of a calendar, it's definitely refreshing. Like this last year, I got to do so many things I've never been able to do. And this year, just kind of building on that and doing more things that, you know, kind of I wasn't able to do due to football a lot of times. And I'm not gonna lie, it's really fun. It's really fun to kind of have the freedom and flexibility. Obviously, it also comes with a lot of work to make that possible. And we're still working on making it sustainable. But no, it's definitely been different and has taken time and it's been challenging. But I think the more and more I become kind of okay with this kind of balance of doing what you need to do to make this happen and make it a reality and make it sustainable, but also kind of taking moments to stop and look around and appreciate what you're doing at all and just the privilege of doing it at all, has been really fun too.
Most of that seems to be positive, which is great.
Yeah.
Was there any difficulty stepping away from the game initially?
It was extremely difficult. It's extremely difficult. And it still is difficult to be completely honest. I mean, when I stopped playing professionally, I was 29, 28 at the time. And if you would have asked me then, I would have said, I'm not done. You know, I'm a very competitive person. And that's one of the reasons why I attribute me being able to get to the level that I got to and have success in football is because, you know, I was very competitive and wanted to play at the highest level possible and push myself as a footballer. And so, you know, my last couple of years of my career were not the way I wanted them to go. You know, my final year, I played through injury the entire year and was a shell of myself and didn't really get an opportunity to prove why I deserved to keep playing. And I wanted to keep playing. And I ended up getting a surgery in February of last year that I'm kind of just getting back from recently. And I wanted to keep playing, you know, I wanted to keep playing, but only in Oakland because what I was doing off the field and kind of the opportunity to have a much bigger impact off the field than what I was doing on the field. And so, I mean, the last year, the last 2-3 years even has been a huge just identity shift of, you know, no longer being a footballer as the only thing that you kind of are and kind of how you see yourself. And so as much as it has been a really, I say that this last year was one of the best years of my life, but also one of the hardest by far. And so much of that is just coming with the shift in identity of leaving a game that literally I sacrifice everything for. like my whole life was dedicated towards being a footballer. And just like that, someone else says, you're done. And I'm like, I just put my whole life into this. Like, I don't want to be done. And so that was very difficult. I think in the few months after that, and especially now after the year that we just had, I feel very at peace with the decision to be done a little bit earlier than I maybe wanted versus a little bit later. And, you know, yeah, as much as last year was so, so great and so many amazing things have happened, you know, I think for any athlete, no matter what level you play at, you know, leaving the game, and especially when you play at a high level and when you dedicate so much to something, it's extremely difficult to transition from that, you know, and find a new career, find new passions, find new identity, you know, all that kind of stuff is very challenging.
When you're at that level and you're working that hard to reach that and then maintain it, do you ever get the, and I'm sorry that we're going back over the part of your life that you've left behind for the moment. I'm just curious.
No, it's good. This is therapy, man.
It's definitely cheaper.
Hey, seriously, that is for sure. That is for sure.
Like when you're at that level, yeah, and you're working hard to maintain that level, is there any awareness in the moment that it's not what you thought it would be? Like it's work and not why you fell in love with the game in the first place as a 5-year-old kid.
Definitely.
Do you wonder what you're doing there, I guess? Even though you didn't want it to be done, are you wondering what you're doing?
Yeah. There? You know, I think there weren't a ton of moments like that. I think my career as a whole, I'm very grateful and privileged to have had most of my career feeling like I'm extremely lucky, and every day I'm grateful to show up to the training ground and have that as a job. And even until my last day, I tried to remind myself, hey, this is an extreme privilege, and you know, I'm playing football for a living. This is the life. But in those last couple of years, it got harder and harder to see it that way. And there were a lot of days when it did feel like a job, and a job that I wasn't necessarily super fulfilled by, to be completely transparent. Especially in that last year when, like, I was fighting an injury where I was doing the same rehab for 3 months and not seeing improvement. And, you know, that that sucks. That really is difficult to be working really, really hard and not seeing or feeling yourself get better. And then I'm coming home from training and working on Neighborhood Sports Club with my two best friends, and we're seeing improvement every day. And we're getting to impact our community. We're getting to learn new skills. We're getting to challenge ourselves and grow in all these different areas of spaces that I'm extremely passionate about that are related to football, but not 100% performance related or things out of my control. I had much more control over my destiny, you know, after training. And so the last few years kind of, yeah, there were moments when it did feel like a job. And I recognize that that's a huge privilege to even say that. And I worked really hard to, even in those moments, still recognizing, hey, I'm grateful to have this job, even if some days it's hard, some days are better than others. But yeah, it was definitely weird and strange, yeah, to kind of have that feeling. And I think it's important to, when I talk to footballers, you know, younger guys coming up or younger girls coming up who want to play professionally, to, you know, keep it real with them on the unbelievable highs that you will have and the great things that come with playing professionally at any level, and to have that privilege of it being your job, but also the realities that come with that. And, you know, whether it's the politics of the professional game, injuries, not controlling your playing time, all those types of things. It's more challenging to deal with when it is your job and it is your dream. And there may be differences of your expectations of that dream and the realities of that dream. And I say all this to say, I mean, still with the mindset of I'm a kid who got to live out my wildest dreams and I wouldn't change a thing, you know? So I think it's just important to kind of have that perspective and just, you know, the knowledge of like, it can still be the dream and the greatest thing ever. And you can have moments that you'll remember for your life and will be worth every sacrifice that you make. But there also will be very difficult and challenging moments that, you know, make you question those sacrifices. But again, at the same time, I would do it all again because, yeah, I got to live out a dream and that, you know, I will never be able to take away from me.
When you're going through that period, I think it was 3 months where you're going through the rehab and you're not seeing the improvement, and that will no doubt be like taking a toll emotionally at the same time, because that's just demoralizing. There's no two ways about that.
Yeah.
How is the work that you've begun alongside that with Neighborhood Sports Club, Dylan and Jordan, how is that offsetting the disappointments and the kind of, the emotional turbulence, I guess, that comes from the injury and not recovering from it?
Yeah. I mean, I think it not only offset that, but, you know, I can safely say that Neighborhood Sports Club kind of saved my relationship to football. You know, there was a periods during those times when, and maybe even before that, when football did feel like a job, and there was a time when I wanted to get as far away from football as possible because of my experience at the professional game. But with Neighborhood Sports Club, it was kind of highlighting all the reasons why I fell in love with football as a kid and kind of reminding me of those things. And so, you know, whether it's we're going home and we're working on a t-shirt design that has Thierry Henry on it, or we're working on a short film that reminds us of Joga Bonito, or, you know, we're hosting these community events where we're bringing together friends, family, old teammates, old coaches, and creating this community, those are the reasons why I fell in love with football. You know, the fun side of things, the creative side of things, the community side of things. I didn't fall in love with football as a 5, 6, 7, 8 year old because of the dynamics of the professional game. You know, obviously I looked at the professional game and aspired to play at that level, but at its core, when I was a kid, it was, you know, the joy that came with football, that came with playing pickup, that came with playing street soccer with, you know, my best friends, came with the kit designs, the creative stuff with the commercials and ads, the old Nike Adidas ads. Those were the things that really made me fall in love with the game. And so, you know, it was kind of this weird dynamic of like the professional game being very challenging and kind of taking the joy away from the game. And then after training, I'm going and working on Neighborhood Sports Club and all these things that are re-reminding me why I love football in the first place. You know, and so that was, you know, that saved my relationship to the game. And I think it made me re-fall in love with it in a childlike way again, where I'm looking at the game in a different way, instead of this lens of performance, the professional game, the next contract, all those kind of things, and kind of reminding me at its core of like why this game means so much to me in the first place, you know?
Do you think that having that going on at that point made that first year out of the game, that the transition that much more smooth?
It definitely helped. It definitely helped. I mean, I don't know what I would be doing without Neighborhood Sports Club. But, you know, the crazy thing is, even with, you know, something that brought me so much joy, something that I was so passionate about, am still so passionate about, it's still so hard. you know, it's still so hard to transition out of a sport that is your whole life. And it's crazy to think that I have this thing that I got to kind of seamlessly transition into, and it's still a huge challenge. And like, it kind of makes me, again, when I talk to other footballers or athletes in general, it's like, I feel for people who still haven't found the thing that they're passionate about next or in addition to that sport, because I'm like, shit, like I found the next thing, and this is still so challenging to transition out of playing. But yeah, I don't know what I would be doing without it. You know, it has made that transition so much easier. And I mean, honestly, it's given me purpose, really. You know, when I talk to people about Neighborhood Sports Club, I say I found my new purpose. You know, at one point it felt like my purpose was to play football, and, you know, especially playing in my hometown, I felt a purpose of like being a role model and representing a dream that kids in Oakland didn't have when I was their age. And so it kind of felt like now I have this other new purpose where, you know, I know why I'm doing what I'm doing. And I think that makes it a lot easier too, to have not just a passion, but a purpose, you know, tied to that passion too.
Yeah. It's really interesting you used that word purpose, because that's really important to have as like an anchor in your life. And keep on the straight and narrow, essentially. Have you had a chance yet to reflect on where your satisfaction sits from where you were as a player to where you are now on a day to day?
I think I have moments of it. That's something that I'm working on, of finding more moments to kind of stop and reflect and appreciate, you know, where I am in the present moment and how far I've come and how far we've come as a business and as friends, as co-founders. I think I could do more of it for sure. And that was something that kind of is a goal for this upcoming year, the year that we're in right now. I mean, one of the things that we've reflected on individually and, you know, as a team is, last year was crazy in terms of our output. You know, we had this crazy output and did a bunch of unbelievable things, but, you know, it was exhausting, and it was always kind of onto the next thing. And whenever we did kind of stop and look around, it's kind of like, holy shit, like we just, you know, shot with Kellen Acosta, or, you know, we just did a short film that, you know, was in a film festival, and we've never done any of this before. So there's these moments where it's like when I look back at the last year, 2 years as a whole, I definitely am like, holy shit at times. But it you do sometimes get caught up in the cycle of what is the next thing. And it's funny because a lot of times I catch myself doing this too, but, you know, whether you're at an event or, you know, sharing a new project with someone and they say, wow, that's so cool, like, what's next? And there's always kind of this feeling of like, okay, well, that's cool, what's next, without necessarily appreciating, you know, the current thing or the previous thing. And so I guess long answer short, I'm working on doing more of that, of reflecting on, you know, the present moment and the recent past of what we've been doing recently, and kind of sitting in that a bit more and celebrating those moments. And because I do think it's important to celebrate when you do have wins, big or small, because, you know, you work so hard to get those wins that you don't want to just move on to the next thing. And so, yeah, it's this kind of fine balance and dance of reflecting and being present with the work that you're doing right now and have done recently, but also, again, kind of back to this entrepreneurial mentality, and there is always going to be a next thing that you have to work on and have to keep in mind. So it's definitely a balance, and still figuring out that balance, but trying to find more moments to be reflective and appreciative of the here and now, while also looking at what's next and being excited about what's next, kind of at the same time, you know.
Is that what you consider yourself to be now, an entrepreneur? Past life player, that's a very clear definition. Now, it feels like with all the things that you work on, the product you've just listed, photo shoots, like pop-ups, short films,
yeah,
there's a variety there. How do you categorize yourself, or do you even feel you need to?
I honestly really struggle with it right now, because kind of like mentioned, every day is so different, and I'm wearing so many different hats that it feels kind of a disservice to say that you're one thing. And some of these titles just feel weird too. It's like, you know, am I a multidisciplined creative? That seems like, I don't know. Then it's like, oh, you're not an expert in one thing. And it's like, well, shoot. It's like, well, also there's this whole business side of what we're doing, you know, within the creative world. You know, I take photos. I like directing. I like writing. I like producing. So it's hard to like, it's hard to say one thing, and it's also hard to kind of put it all into one. But I also don't like just rattling off a list of things that I like to do, because that just feels weird. So, you know, feel free to help me out with this, because I'm still trying to figure it out myself, because there are these different things that I am extremely passionate about. And maybe this will shake out over time of kind of what I spend more time on. But, you know, yeah, in this last year, I've worn the hat of 6 or 7 different individual titles. So it feels weird to kind of, you know, say one thing and then kind of close off some of those other things, when it's like, I think one of the greatest things about Neighborhood Sports Club and kind of the role that we're in as co-founders, and I'm in as a co-founder, is you get to do all these different roles and wear all these different hats based on different projects or needs. And so it's like, yeah, I'm passionate about photography. We're doing a photo shoot. Like, I'll take the photos. It's like, oh, we're doing a brand short film. We want to do it in-house. Like, I'll direct it. You know, things like that, where it's like, I don't want to close myself off to things by putting a title on it. But at the same time, it's really helpful for introductions to have some sort of title, you know?
yeah.
So yeah, I don't really know how to classify myself. But I think that's kind of the fun part, is that I don't want to close myself off to an opportunity or just to trying something new that I'm passionate about. And so yeah, it's a work in progress. It's a work in progress.
Are you wearing these different hats for the first time, or are they being dusted off from old interests that fell by the wayside because of a pro career?
Well, I think it's a little bit of both. I mean, I think I've always had these interests, but I never really felt like I had the license to explore these interests. You know, like when I was a kid, when I was 12, 13, I loved skateboarding, and I used to make like skateboard videos. So it was like, you know, filming on an old camera, or I would even use my laptop camera to film sometimes, editing videos, but it was super, very basic, but I still enjoyed it. I had a passion for it. And then once I got to this age, it's probably 14, 15, where football became very serious. I don't know if it was the time, but it felt like you couldn't really have serious interests or passions outside of football, or else you wouldn't be taken seriously as a footballer. And so, you know, I always had these interests. I loved clothes. I loved photography. I loved watching movies and kind of cinematography, storytelling, all these types of things. But it kind of was like, well, you're a footballer. You can't really act on those passions, or you're the footballer who likes other things. And, you know, I had teammates who were into other things, and the coach is like, you're into other things. You're not a footballer. And so you kind of felt boxed into being, you're an athlete or you're something else. You can't really be both. And now there's obviously, you know, a movement with being more than athletes. And, you know, I'm fortunate that I got to experience some of that movement. And I think the second half of my career, once I felt comfortable with my schedule as a pro and that I would be doing this for a few more years, I started to act on some of those passions and explore some of those. And so the passions aren't new, but the experience is very new. You know, like my godfather passed down a film camera for Christmas 3 years ago. And that was really my first time shooting film. And that was, you know, three and a half years ago. But I loved photography growing up. I love that world. You know, mentioning the short films, I loved the Jogo Bonito ads. I loved the Adidas, you know, Jose Plus 10 ad. I loved these things growing up. I had a passion for them, but I had never written something or a short film, never directed a short film, never kind of been in this space. But I think the passion and kind of a little bit of naivety, but more self-belief in that, hey, let's try it out. You know, we believe in ourselves. We believe in our vision. We believe in our taste. Let's see how we do. And that's kind of just snowballed in all facets of this, whether it's photography, you know, filmmaking, making clothes, designs, all that kind of stuff. It's been kind of trusting in ourselves and the work that we've put in, and the taste that we have, and winging it for the first time. And then the first time in a lot of these situations has gone pretty well. And then we kind of just have built on those each time. And that's just given me more and more confidence to take on bigger roles within those. So, you know, like for example, our first short film, Cafe Olé, we wrote the whole thing, we produced the whole thing, but we had some help with the directing and the shooting of it. For Play Anywhere, our second short film, we wrote that, we produced it. We then were like, hey, let's take a stab at directing it and shooting it. Not by choice, actually. We had someone who was supposed to shoot it, and then a few days before we had everything planned out, they were unable to shoot it for some reason. And so we kind of said, like, shoot, like we'll shoot it ourselves. We'll work with one of our best friends and we'll shoot it ourselves and direct it ourselves. And it worked really well. It turned out really well. And so it's just been kind of these moments of trying and believing in ourselves and also doing the work too of like understanding what it takes to create something that is high quality and well done. And again, just kind of trusting it'll work out, and just building each time, building confidence each time. And so, yeah, it's been a mix of kind of things I've always had interest in and passions for, but for whatever reason, whether it was societally or just personally, it didn't feel like I had the license to explore or act on those things. And then now kind of having the opportunity to act on all of these passions and things of interest through this brand. And that's, again, one of the reasons why we wear so many hats, is because there's all these different things that we want to do. And we feel that should be out there, and this is a platform to do that. And so, yeah, it's been really fun, definitely a lot of learning, but, you know, super cool to have an idea and bring it to life, you know? And that's just been like the funnest thing ever, you know?
It's almost, yeah, the shackles are off.
Yeah.
Right. That's what it feels like. They've been on for a period of time and now that's it. They're gone and you're going full tilt with these things. And you hinted that the more you do the things, the self-belief kind of grows, you get a bit of momentum going. You've tried that, it goes well. So then all of a sudden, you know, a problem arises in a shoot. So you say, okay, we'll do it ourselves. But your eyes need to be open to those possibilities, right? It's equally as easy to say, oh, that's not worked out. Maybe we'll arrange this for another time. But that belief is in there because of the momentum that you've built. But initially, there's got to be something there to get the ball rolling in the first place, so to speak. Like, do you think that you've carried over, like, as a pro athlete, that's instilled like a baseline in you of confidence?
For sure. I mean, I think there's a super, super linked kind of relationship between the two beliefs. I mean, rewinding a bit, but I was not supposed to, I mean, by all measures, I was not supposed to be a pro. Like, growing up in Oakland, there was not a professional football team locally. The MLS was a joke at the time. You know, I would tell teachers that I wanted to be a professional soccer player and they laughed at it because the MLS salary, average salary, was like $30,000 at the time. And it just felt like there's no careers in football in the US, and especially in Oakland, where, you know, you have the Warriors, you have the Raiders, you have the A's, and soccer is the furthest afterthought. You know, and so even just as a kid, the idea of being a pro, you had to have kind of a crazy level of belief. And then fast forward a bit into high school, I was not recruited really to go to college until late in my senior year. And, you know, I was not, you know, a highly regarded recruit that was, you know, destined to be a pro. I was a very late recruit. And then, you know, college, had a decent college career, but was never on any draft boards or anything like that. The draft came and went, didn't hear my name. And a lot of my peers who experienced the same thing were like, oh, okay, I guess that's my time to enter the real world and get a job. So yeah, I mean, I had to carry on this belief, you know, my whole life to achieve that first dream of playing professional soccer. You know, I had to be a practice player for 6 months. I had to go on trial multiple places. I didn't sign a contract until I was 23. And so I had to have a ton of self-belief, a ton of self-confidence and resiliency, or else I wouldn't have made it 1 year in football, let alone six. So I think that has definitely carried on into this next chapter of, you know, believing in yourself and your ability and your vision and your taste, but then also the work that you put in to get to where you want to go. And so, yeah, I think there's a huge similarity in the two beliefs, that I'm capable of doing great things, but also I'm capable of putting in the work necessary to do these things that are extremely difficult, that come with challenges, that will have failures, that will have obstacles. I've dealt with that before in football, when at times I had a much harder mountain to climb than in this next chapter. And so when some of these things come up in, you know, this new dream that we're doing, and the obstacles, there's definitely different obstacles for sure. But I look at everything as, this is nothing that I can't get through. This is nothing that I haven't gone through before and haven't overcome. So, you know, I think there's a huge kind of linkage between that belief carrying over into whatever I do now.
Rewinding just a little bit. You mentioned that you had that drive and that kind of, that I guess it is a competitiveness to get you to that point where you were working, you were the practice player, you're going to trial after trial when peers have already backed out. So there's something there before the career, like before the career has kind of galvanized whatever that was already in you. Where do you think that comes from? Why wasn't it you that was walking away saying, oh, you know what, maybe this isn't going to work out, I'll go and get myself a job?
That's a great question. I don't know if I can attribute it to one single thing. I mean, I think as a kid growing up, I'm very fortunate to have unbelievably supportive parents and a family that really said, you can do whatever you put your mind to. And, no dream is too big and too crazy. And so I think that was kind of instilled in me at a young age. And then I really don't know where it came from, but I think just ever since I was a kid, I always had this belief that, I can do whatever I put my mind to and work towards. And I think I've been able to prove that to myself too, which has grown that confidence, and at the same time, like, I'm also very self-aware. I know what is, crazy and impossible. Not impossible. I don't want to say anything is impossible, but, I don't know where it came from, I guess, but ever since I was younger, I had this belief that I could do what I put my mind to. And, I would have these moments where when I was younger and on a relatively unknown local club team, where we'd play against teams that were one of the higher ranked teams in the country or the state, or had a player who was in the national pool or on the national team. And I always looked at those games or those opportunities as kind of opportunities to measure myself against someone or a team who is getting that recognition of being the best or doing things the right way. And whenever I had those opportunities, I always felt like I measured up to those players or to those teams. And so I wasn't necessarily getting validation from the outside, but in those moments, I had the self-awareness to say, like, they might be a little bit better than me, but we're looking eye to eye, and it's, I can close this gap. There's things that I can work on yet where we're peers. And so, and I think that still happens now, like we did a short film, like the first short film we did, I love it. my community loves it. Our family and friends love it, but that didn't win any awards. That didn't get a ton of views. It didn't go viral. Like, all these measurable things that you could say, like, oh, that was a huge success. But I look at that and I look at, a Nike ad or some of these highly produced pieces of some of the best in the business. And I say, you're not on a different world than us. Like, we might've done this with our friends and no budget, but I look at our two pieces of work as not too far apart and as peers. And so, I think it's been a combination of just this self-belief instilled since I was a kid, combined with the work to back it up and to, prove why we should get those opportunities. And then when we do get it, or we do have the opportunity, to measure ourselves against what we do think is good work and is great. And seen that it's not a gap that's too big, you know, and we are capable of doing things that are great. And so, yeah, I think it's been a combination of all those things, but I don't know where it came from, but I definitely know that I would not be here without it. You know, I would not have played football professionally without it. And I damn sure would not be able to be building something from nothing without it, because it takes a whole lot of belief to do that. And we have to be the first ones to believe that this is possible, more than anyone, to get the world to see that too. You know,
I'm just thinking about something else from when you were younger, and I'm wondering if there's a thread to pull on there, and it's the skateboarding, which is the whole subculture vibe of that. You mentioned that you were going out and filming, like you're taking your laptop out to film something, right? So there's that kind of there's that attitude around skateboarding that's just kind of like finding solutions, I guess, or just doing whatever you can do with what you've got.
Yeah.
Right. So there's that's just there lurking from your youth, and then you come into neighborhood sports club, and then maybe it's just scratching beneath the surface and it's unearthing a lot of that, where you're like, yeah, we can do that. I know we can do this, we can do that. And it's that kind of, I don't know what the word is to describe this, but like not punk, but it is part of that subculture of skateboarding that just has that kind of, it, you know, a lot of creatives come from that landscape, photographers,
yeah,
videographers, all sorts. So it's maybe not too surprising that neighborhood sports club is a form of creative expression, not just for you, but for Dylan and Jordan as well. And that it is so varied. And I don't mean this in a derogatory way, but it's got that kind of, there's authenticity woven through all of it. You know, it's not kind of shiny. It's that it's got a kind of a little bit of grit. There's authenticity. There's feeling to what you're putting out, and maybe the roots of it. That's just me. Like, you know, it's always nice to find something to pull on, and maybe that there is something there. I don't know. Maybe I'm just saying that to suit my narrative.
That wasn't derogatory at all. I think authentic is one of the biggest compliments, you know, we can get. And I'm glad that's showing through. I mean, I think one of the things that sometimes happens with sport and with football as it's growing in popularity is that, you know, some people just want to throw money at it and think that that's going to make something great. And I think we're seeing now with, you know, all the different levels of different brands and companies, you know, whether it's a small business or a startup like us, or, you know, the biggest companies like a Nike or Adidas. And you can tell when there's authenticity behind it, when the people making it know football, know their community, have purpose behind what they're doing. They're not doing something to sell something, but because there's, you know, a real reason why. I mean, I think like the two short films that we did, we came up with the ideas for the films before even making an apparel item to sell with it, because we just wanted to tell the story. And I think a lot of these things are, we want to do them because we want to do them because they're cool to us. They're cool to our community. We want to make things that we want to see exist because we think that they will have value in the space, and not to just make money. We're still sorting out the making money and being a sustainable business. And that comes with our long-term vision of having a brick and mortar. But everything we're doing is because we want to do it, and we feel that these things need to exist in the world. And so I think that's one of the reasons why it feels that way, is because it is that way, you know? And I'm glad that that's showing through, and the plan is to keep it that way too. You know, obviously we're a business and we need to be sustainable, but the reason why we're doing these things is bigger than that, much bigger than that. And, you know, I'm hoping and I'm glad, yeah, that that is showing through in what we're doing. And it's like, yeah, we are learning on the job. So there are times when, you know, something might be a little off, or, you know, a setting was a little different here. The lighting wasn't perfect. And it's because, yeah, we didn't have a lighting person. We didn't have a, you know, a big budget to do this or that, but we're going to do it anyway. And we're going to do it the best we can. And we still think that's pretty dang good and worth putting out in the world. And if it's not polished, it's not polished, but it's authentic. And I'd rather be authentic than polished, you know?
That feels like a very neat way to wrap that up. There's the soundbite right there. You mentioned something right at the very beginning about coming to the point where, or coming to the realization where you could have more impact off the field than you were having on it. And I think it's clear with what I've seen on socials, with the community events that you've built, where people feel like they're a part of something. You're building that for people, and being, you know, it's not just a creative outlet. You're being of service to your community and giving people something to emotionally invest in.
Yeah.
And I think it just shows you the power of the game.
Yeah.
It goes way beyond what we go to a stadium to watch, you know?
Yeah.
It's like it's in the veins of communities, and you're tapping into that beautifully.
I appreciate that. I mean, I think if you don't mind me just sharing a little bit of just like kind of the origin story of this, and kind of, I think it really ties back to that, you know, being more than just the game itself. I mean, kind of rewinding a few years when, you know, Dylan played for the Oakland Roots their inaugural year, and him and Jordan had just gotten back from playing professionally abroad in Europe. And obviously in Europe, football culture it's alive and well. It's all some countries know. And they got to see how much communities, neighborhoods rallied around these neighborhood pitches, and how it brought these communities together. You know, fast forward a little bit, back in Oakland, the Roots are a new team that is drawing sellout crowds to every game, that is bringing together Oakland, which is one of the most diverse cities in the country, and has some of the best people in the country and the most culture and soul. And as kids growing up who didn't have professional football in our city, to then be on the field playing for the first professional team in the city, and looking around and seeing how much support there was and how much a community came together for football in the US, let alone Oakland, like, we're like, finally there's proof that this community exists and is alive and well. But at the same time, as footballers and as fans and as people part of this community who grew up here, who still live here, after the Roots game, or even as a pro, I couldn't find a place to train in the off season without getting kicked off the field or hopping a fence. I watched the Champions League final on like a 13-inch TV because a bar wouldn't show it, or there was nowhere to watch a fucking game. You know, I couldn't buy any football lifestyle apparel anywhere locally, even let alone online. And so we kind of realized that this community, Oakland, the East Bay, the Bay Area, is a hub for football and football culture. but there is no infrastructure to support that. All the people that are going to a Roots game, those 6,000-7,000 people, where are they going the other 6 days a week, 22 hours a day? Because we know they love football. We know that they love community. They love coming together around this game, whether it's playing, watching, shopping, having a coffee and shooting the shit. They love to do this, but there's nowhere to do it. And so that became the why of all of this, is this place that means so much to us, that made us who we are, loves football, and there's no hub for this community to gather and to enjoy all the beautiful things that football has to offer. And so that's kind of the inception of, we need to create this space. And so that's when kind of the journey set off on opening and creating this space. And that has evolved over the last couple of years of a brand on top of that, with apparel, with media, storytelling, with pop-ups, events. But still, our goal is to open up a brick and mortar here in Oakland with 5v5 cafe, bar, retail, that will be the hub for this community that loves football and rallies around the game and loves coming together, but just doesn't have the places to do that, you know? And so, yeah, it's been crazy, just full circle, you know, trying to create something that we wish we had as kids and we still want now. And we know the next generation is going to want to. And so, yeah, it's been quite a ride so far.
Do you think that the fact that both you and Dylan have both played for the Roots adds some credibility and appeal to what you're putting into the community? Because they know you, they've seen you represent the city professionally, and now you're putting yourself into the city on a community level, so it adds a bit more weight to it.
Yeah, I don't know if it's weight. I mean, I think we feel a little bit of weight just knowing how much impact that this will have and can have, and feeling like we need to make this happen, because quite frankly, Oakland and the East Bay needs it. Like, it's not just it would be nice, but it's like, we need this and this community needs it. So I think internally we feel this weight and kind of pressure to serve our community for sure. It's funny because not everybody even knows that we used to play for the club. Definitely there's people who knew us from the club and found out about us through that and support us and are fans of the club and us, which is great. But there's also people who find out, you know, months after they've been to events that we played for the club. You know, obviously we would love if those communities could combine as much as possible. And we are all part of the same community. We are all working towards the same thing. But yeah, I do think that, or I hope that it helps. And I think that us being from here, us playing for the club and seeing the support from the inside for football gives us a unique perspective for sure. And we also grew up in this community. So, you know, we're trying to create a space for our former club team, for our former, you know, director of coaches to have a place for him to train, for him to watch the Champions League. We're trying to grow the sport in this city and create more access and opportunities for people who either love football but don't have the opportunities, or don't even know about football and are just looking to find community or find a way to get recreation. And so you know, it's definitely, I think that's, it's definitely been a core to kind of how we've been successful, is that we are part of this community. It's not like we are coming from, you know, the outside trying to seeing an opportunity and wanting to, you know, oh, soccer's booming in Oakland, there's nothing there, like, let's go throw a bunch of money, build some fields, and this will do great. It's, we're trying to create a place that we wish we had as kids, and that we see there's a huge need and a huge void that is going to have impact, you know, that's kind of back to that, that impacting on the field and off the field. The impact that this will have is bigger than anything we could do individually, you know, as players or, you know, in other different businesses. This, and that's why, again, it's, there's a purpose side of this where this is way bigger than me. This is way bigger than Dylan. This is way bigger than Jordan. This is bigger than all of us, because there's the opportunity to impact our community and a community that's very special to us that we are a part of. So I think that, again, hopefully that shines through too in what we do and why we're doing it. Because it is, it's our community. We are part of it. So that's why we're working so hard to make it happen. And I think we do feel a bit of weight in making it happen, because we know how impactful it can be, and we know how much, you know, the city needs it right now.
I think it's quite beautiful that you're making a change at community level. You are giving people this access, and a sense of community. You're giving the community a sense of community, and yeah, as you say, access to things you didn't necessarily have, but you're doing it through creativity. It's two worlds colliding. It's not just putting a hub there and calling it a day. It's like there's a, like we touched on earlier on, it's not just that there's the kickabouts, there's the running club, there's the shorts, the merch, the shoots, all of this kind of thing. It's having a meaningful impact on people's lives whilst fulfilling your own creative needs as an individual and as a three. And I think those two things combined, yeah, it's quite a beautiful thing. And again, just shows how broad how broadly football can be used to make a positive change. I've been looking on admiringly and feel inspired as a result of it. So I'm really glad that I came across you guys and that you're doing what you're doing.
Hey, the feeling is mutual. I really appreciate those words, and I'm inspired by what you're doing too. You know, I know how hard it is to do a podcast. I had one for a couple of years. I still have one with my dad that has just been, it's been too hard to do in addition to Neighborhood Sports Club. So I echo that same thing. And trust me, the conversations that you're having that I've listened to on multiple occasions, those are having real impact too. And so, you know, I echo that, and I appreciate what you're doing too. And I think, yeah, it's using this game as a vehicle for all these different types of impact. And you can find football in different ways. And I think you're doing that same thing too, where all these people that you're talking to are in different lanes of football, you know, and kind of this, there's this idea that to be into football, you have to play football and play it at a high level, when it's like, you could not care about football at all, but like the fashion side of it and get into football. You could like the photography, the creative side of it and get into football. You could like the football ads and get into football. You could like the watch, like there's so many ways, the design elements of football. So I think it's just kind of opening up the game to more and more people, because selfishly, this game has impacted my life in unbelievable ways that, you know, I owe so much to football that I want other people to kind of see how great it can be, but also showing them that you don't have to play at the high level to enter this community. You can be into all these different other things, but football is kind of this point where they all meet, you know? And so I think that's a beautiful thing. And it's a way to bring people together, you know? And it just feels like now more than ever, we need that, you know? And yeah, I appreciate those words a lot. And I echo the same to you.
Yeah, I really do appreciate that. And you were channeling some serious Rick Rubin vibes there.
Hey, I appreciate that. Well, when you sent that email about the magazine, and I thought you were saying that the podcast was ending, I was like, I was devastated, you know?
Booked another therapy session straight away.
Yeah.
Mate, listen, I'm going to let you crack on with your Wednesday. I'm sure it's a pretty sunny one over there, no doubt, compared to the now black winter's night that I've got here. But I really appreciate you spending the time, mate, telling me a bit more about your story that got you to where you are now and the formation of the club. I'm looking forward to speaking to the other guys and connecting those dots that led you all to the club, you know? But mate, I really appreciate it. Really insightful. Really interesting. So thanks so much, mate.
No, thank you. It's a privilege to be on. So seriously, very appreciative of the chance to chop it up.
Nice one. I'll let you crack on with the day, mate. Take it easy.
See you, Joe.
Bye, mate. Take care. Thanks for listening. I hope you enjoyed the conversation. Don't forget to hit the follow button and I'll see you next time.